saving the vehicles of America from lazy people refusing to return shopping carts. Here's Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, all eyes turn to Ohio State football 2020 now. Spring game will be here before you know it. Bill Rabinowitz, who covers Ohio State football, he's the beat writer for the Dispatch, and he's on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Billy, welcome back. How you been?
I'm good, Anthony and Bobby. How are you guys doing?
Good. Just good running into you for a moment there out in the desert. Now we come back and we face the reality of what's next for Ohio State and a couple little changes. And certainly Kerry Combs coming back, Bobby and I, and I'm sure you have well documented who this guy has recruited, who he's coached, the energy he brings. It's unmatched. But when you start to talk to people around the program, maybe even players or former players, what is the impact of a return of a Kerry Combs?
Well, as you said, he's an energy guy. I mean, I kind of joke with him when he was here that, you know, I said, "Do you even drink coffee?" He said, "I don't need it, but I do like it." So, which is true. He definitely doesn't need it. He's, you know, a guy who starts his press conference by kind of barking. I described him as in my story today. He's kind of part drill sergeant, part motivational speaker. That's just kind of who he is. And, you know, he built Cole Rain's program down in Cincinnati, made that into a power, went to UC for a while, then came here and really made an impact. Players loved him. Great recruiter. Went up to Michigan, got a bunch of guys, Mike Weber, Damon Webb, Michael Jordan, and he was instrumental in their recruiting. I guess the question is, when he was here, they played almost strictly press man-to-man. Now, last year they had success using both zone and man-to-man. He went to the NFL, and the NFL, as you know, they don't always play man. It's probably more of a zone league. And how much did he learn? How much will he change, or how much will the, you know, how will the defense be different next year with Kerry Combs running the back end, at least, instead of Jeff Hafley? That's the big question.
How much of an impact do you think he'll have in recruiting, Bill? Because I think that's something that, you know, people looked at, and if you look at over, I think since 2013, Ohio State has had about, I want to say, 8 guys drafted or will be drafted in the first or second round at corner that he recruited, if you include Damon Arnett, Sean Wade, and then Jeffrey Okuda, if those guys all are drafted over the this year, and then obviously Wade the following season. But, I mean, to be able to continue that pipeline, how big is that for this program?
Obviously, it's crucial. I mean, that's Ohio State is built part of its reputation on being DBU or BIA. He was the one who came out with BIA, Best in America. So that's the standard. He certainly did it when he was here, and I have no reason to think that he wouldn't do it upon his return. And now he's got the extra credibility of having coached in the NFL, and the Titans had a very good secondary this year. I can't say I followed them all that closely, but statistically, they were very good. I saw some of the comments from the players yesterday. They were very respectful and very complimentary about Kerry Combs, and there's no reason to think that he won't be successful.
Bill Rabinowitz with us, Ohio State football beat writer for the Dispatch, the Chase and the Buckeye Rebirth books of yours. When this kind of came and went, these job potentials for Urban Meyer, right? We speculated, Bobby and I, on the show for a while about USC, then the NFL. You know, when Urban mentioned to Colin Cowherd, "Oh, if the Dallas Cowboys call, that's a phone call. That's a phone you answer." So all of a sudden it gave us feeling like, okay, if we were questioning whether he would ever want to go to the NFL, he put that to rest with that comment. And then the Dallas job comes open, the Browns job comes open, and Urban is still on the sidelines. What's your feeling about these jobs coming and going and him not getting one or taking one and the future of him as a coach? Do you think he will again?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that Urban Meyer himself knows that completely. I mean, when I talked to him in the spring, he didn't really want to go there. And certainly in the fall, he didn't want to go there. I think that he thinks that he's done with coaching, but I also know that he recognizes what happened the last time he said he was done, which is in Florida, and we know what happened. So I think he's been very careful never to say never, which is smart. You know, first of all, in terms of the pro jobs, I didn't really follow those that closely, but it takes two. It takes the team to be interested in him, too. And you know, I don't know whether he signaled to them that he was interested or not interested. I think that in his heart, he knows he's more of a college coach. I think that's, first of all, Urban Meyer loves to be able to stack the deck, which is you do that by recruiting. Well, in the NFL, you get 1 out of 32 picks. Can't do it. Everyone is basically more or less equal in terms of talent. And that, I think that would be really hard for him. It's hard for me to imagine Urban Meyer coaching a team and kind of being okay going 8-8. Could he do it? Maybe. But, you know, I just think he's a college coach, and it would have to be the perfect college job for him to kind of jump back into it.
Talking to Bill Rabinowitz, covering Ohio State football for the Dispatch here on Carpenter Rothman. And Bill, as you look at this team, obviously, you know, a couple of mistakes away from playing for a national championship. Maybe they win it, maybe they don't. But right there, obviously, with the elite teams right now in college football, both in talent and execution. And when you look at this squad and you see what they can provide, and then look at, obviously, the challenges facing next year, what do you think that biggest challenge or area of need would be for this team to get back and potentially surpass what they accomplished this season?
Yeah, I would think the secondary. You're going to lose 3 out of 4 guys. Sean Wade coming back is enormous. He gives you at least a foundation. You've got a corner that you know he's going to play outside corner this year. You know that he's going to be a guy that they can count on. He'll be the next Jeff Okuda. The rest of them, they got a lot of playing time last year, but they've got to step up. And who will it be, whether it's Cam Brown or Seven Banks? I mean, there are a whole bunch of guys that will have their chance. Josh Proctor is going to have a lot of pressure on him, being basically the sole safety back there, replacing Jordan Fuller. And then, you know, how do you replace somebody like Chase Young? I mean, how do you do that? Well, you don't. You know, but you do it with a group effort. You still have Tyreek Smith. You have Jonathan Cooper. You have Zach Harrison, who really made a lot of strides last year. They're going to be very good on the defensive line. But, you know, do you have that difference maker, that guy that the quarterback looks at before every snap and says, okay, where's that guy? You know, on offense, I think the biggest question really is can Master Teague replace J.K. Dobbins adequately? Master Teague was third team all Big Ten as a backup, but he was running basically against, you know, bad teams. He was getting mop-up yards, and, you know, he played very well. In the Clemson game, he didn't do much. And so I think that's something that I'm sure Tony Alford and Ryan Day will say, okay, you know, it's time for you to be the guy next year. I think he can do it, but he's got to prove he can do it. And, you know, would Marcus Crowley challenge him for a job or you know, Chambers, you know, DeMario McCall has kind of been waiting for his shot. The door's open. You know, having Justin Fields as your quarterback is a huge, huge plus. I mean, he's going to be a Heisman front runner. He and Trevor Lawrence, I would assume, would be the top two guys. And that's a huge advantage. I'm not concerned about the wide receivers. I think when you've got Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson and that group of freshmen coming in, they'll be just fine.
If we nailed you down to biggest loss, who would it be on this team? Biggest departure, most impactful departure. I mean, is it the obvious? Is it Chase Young?
I think it is, just because he's I would say once in a generation talent. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's had three of them, you know, but he is. I mean, he's that good. I think replacing Jeff Okuda is huge. I feel much better about that, having Sean Wade come back. I think Malik Harrison was a really underrated guy. I think Devon Hamilton was a really underrated guy. There's a lot of pressure on guys like Tommy Togiai to emerge next year. On the offensive line, you lose two good players, Brandon Bowen at right tackle and Jonah Jackson at left guard. I think they've got the guys to fill those spots. You've got a real good foundation with the three guys they've got coming back. But, you know, those are question marks you've got to answer. But Ohio State's going to be really good next year. Are they going to be quite as good as this year? Well, you know, I don't know that many people thought they'd be as good as they actually were last year. So that's what coaching's for. That's what development's for. And, you know, I kind of felt bad for those guys the day of the national championship game when LSU and Clemson were playing. They started Mickey Marotti's infamous offseason conditioning program. I thought, oh, those poor guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, that they're already preparing.
No, that's it. I mean, the hunger will never go away. In fact, it'll just get worse, I think, just in a good way. Like, I think these guys certainly, they're going to have to relive that game against Clemson for a while until they can suit up again and play another one. But it's all the usual suspects. They're right back in there. Clemson, Ohio State, Bama, LSU, Georgia, they're all going to be there again. So and there's no reason to believe that Ohio State won't be one of, I imagine, the top two preseason teams. Where do you anticipate them being preseason, real quickly?
Yeah, I think they'll be number two. I think Clemson will be the overwhelming preseason number one, and rightly so. I mean, they're bringing back Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne and you know, a really good team in addition. I mean, LSU obviously loses Joe Burrow and a bunch of other guys. You know, Alabama's Alabama, but I think Ohio State will be number two going into the season. I think the one thing that was good about their performance against Clemson, as frustrating as it was for them, and as much as this will haunt them for a long time, nobody watched that game and thought, like they maybe did 3 years ago, Ohio State doesn't belong in the playoffs. Ohio State obviously belonged. And that part of, you know, Ohio State, after winning in 2014, they got shut out in 16, and Michigan State, the other Big Ten representative in the playoff, got shut out too. So there was a little bit of feeling in the country, I think, that, you know, what's the Big Ten got? Well, Ohio State, is, you know, they made a lot of mistakes, and yes, that's it was self-inflicted as much as it was Clemson, and yes, the refs had a role, but, you know, but Ohio State certainly proved that they belonged in the playoff, and I think that does give them confidence, maybe. I mean, I don't think there was a lot of doubt about it inside the program, or even people close to the program. But I think nationally, there were some people who were probably a little skeptical about how Ohio State would do in a playoff game, and you know, they probably should have won.
Yes, it's the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. That's for sure. Billy, thanks, man. Have a great time enjoying watching the Super Bowl, and we'll be back with you soon when it comes to spring ball. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you.